Jim Houston of the NHL and Sportsnet joins us. I mean, give us your take on the Montreal Canadiens and what you saw on Saturday night and what we've all seen over the first few games of this season. I mean, you know, are we at the point where this team is genuinely in trouble, or is this just, in your opinion, a rough start?
I think maybe a little bit of both for me. I thought Saturday night they could have beat Toronto. They were good enough. Had their goaltender been as good as he usually is, he probably doesn't lose an edge, and I'm not sure whether he would have stopped the first Matthews shot anyway, but a good Carey Price might even stop the overtime shot. A good Carey Price might have got them the win in that game because Toronto wasn't as good as they have been or will be. But I do think that they've got some holes there. As I told you last week, I do believe that when Claude Julien really gets his hands on the team, they will be able to defend, and they'll defend reasonably well. They took the neutral zone away from Toronto for the most part on Saturday night. They'll do that to most teams, and they have a good goaltender, so I think that allows them to stay in most games and maybe even contend for a playoff spot. But it's hard for me to find where they're going to get goals. Drouin is okay, and I think on a good team with really good centermen, like Tampa Bay, where he used to be,
right,
he's a winger. He'd
right.
be a winger.
Yeah.
And for Claude Julien, he looks at it and says, well, if I was still in Boston and had David Krejci and Patrice Bergeron, this guy's a winger.
Yeah.
But I'm in Montreal, and the best center I've got is Philip Deneau, and then Thomas Plekanec, who doesn't get me any offense. So Jonathan Drouin is a centerman. And the good thing about that is the kid accepts that and wants to be a centerman. He has been as a kid. He always was. It was only when he got to professional hockey that they told him he was a winger. So, you know, I don't think he's doing a bad job at it. And I think he'll get better at it. And he'll really be helped when his top winger, the captain of that team, Max Pacioretty, starts scoring. And he usually does at some point.
I wonder, Huey, if a comparison, not an exact comparison, would be Jonathan Drouin and Phil Kessel. Put them in a secondary capacity, they can be really, really helpful for your team. Put them in a primary, number one line, be the go-to guy, be the leader. You may be asking them to do something that they can't do.
I don't think it's fair to say that about Drouin quite yet, Damien. And you may be accurate. That may be the case. But I think we got to give him a chance at it. And I've watched their games, and I don't see a bad player. It doesn't stand out to me that, you know, oh boy, better get him off that first-line center. I didn't see him making a lot of mistakes in defensive coverage. And he is creative, and he can skate. So I think we got to give that one a little more time. And I also think that he's got some personality, and he accepts the fact that he's in his hometown and knows what it's going to be like to be the star, and everybody knows your business wherever you are on and off the ice. And I think he's accepting that. And so a lot of guys don't in Montreal, and that becomes a problem immediately. So I'd be willing to give him a little time on this.
Give me your analysis of McDavid versus Matthews. And I know it's sort of an unfair comparison, and it's early in the season. But every time I watch Austin Matthews play, I get more and more impressed by his ability to produce. It isn't his all-around game, which is fine. It's at the right moment, he seems to be able to do something like score a goal when you need it. And it almost is like a light switch for him. You just flick it on, and then it flicks off, and then, okay, we need another one. All right, and he goes and gets it. He finds a way all the time. And I'm not saying McDavid isn't that guy. McDavid is a far more dynamic, exciting player. But in terms of, you know, 3 years from now, once we've really had a chance to assess the early parts of their careers, is there a chance that Matthews and McDavid are no worse off than neck and neck?
Oh, I think it's entirely possible that, you know, they are competing for a scoring championship in the National Hockey League and are the two best players in the league. I don't think there's, I think they're on that path. Very different kind of players, and you mentioned the dynamic of Connor McDavid, and I think when Connor's on the ice, like, he can bring you right to the edge of your seat and out of it a lot of the time because he's so fast, and he does, like the goal that he scored that was on the highlight reels from the hat trick he scored in the first game, end to end, and that's so special. It's just there are not many guys that can do that and blow through everybody like that. So he's in. So you notice him in every shift. And the one thing I've noticed about Matthews, and you alluded to it as well, and it's but it's not like he's disappeared from the game. He does everything really well,
yeah.
But he does a lot of things that you just don't notice for a few shifts. Like there was a play on Saturday night that he made defensively where I think it was Paul Byron was going in behind the Toronto net, spotted Brendan Gallagher all alone in front, and it looked like it was going to be a tap-in. And he played it out front, and there was Matthews, just sort of appeared at the side of the net, and with a flick of his stick, got a little piece of the puck, and Gallagher didn't even get a shot. And because he was back in such good position, he's always in support, and he does a lot of the things that are really boring in hockey so well that you don't notice him, but he's always in the right position, and that's why the puck just seems to follow him around too. And the other thing that I really like about him is the versatility that I didn't know about until I started watching him on a daily basis. You think about this. If you're planning to play the Toronto Maple Leafs and you're trying to come up with a plan to stop Austin Matthews, what is it you're trying to stop? He's a big, strong man.
Yep.
He skates as well as anybody.
Yep.
He flicks his wrists and has a shot that goes through anything. If he's not getting anything off the wing with his shot on the power play, he'll just bull his way to the front of the net and score from there. He can pretty much do everything. The only thing I haven't seen from Austin Matthews is a slap shot. Doesn't have one. Doesn't use one. I suspect he'll invent one to come up with a one-timer on a power play, but he really hasn't needed it. So I see an incredibly versatile player, and I that's not to disparage Connor McDavid at all because he's fantastic. But we could see we might even be this year that those guys compete for the scoring championship and are 1-2.
You know, for years we've, and I'm not making a comparison between Austin Matthews and Sidney Crosby because that would be unreasonable to make at this time, but I think for years, probably the three of us would have gone back and forth. Is Sidney Crosby a goal scorer or is he in a setup guy? Is he, and it goes back and forth and back, and the answer is whatever he needs to be.
Yeah.
Exactly.
If he needs to score 50 goals, he can do that. If he needs to score 30 goals and get 90 assists or whatever the number is, he'll do that. I kind of get the feeling that Matthews is like that. He can set up William Nylander all day long, or Nylander can set him up, and whatever is going to be required, he'll score, or he'll be the guy who sets up other guys, Huey.
And are they ever good together?
Yeah.
See, that's something they really haven't found for Connor McDavid yet, right? They just aren't certain. They think it's going to be Leon Draisaitl. He's the best bet, but they'd really like him to be a center because he's such a good center iceman, but they really haven't found the Nylander for Connor McDavid.
Mm-hmm.
These two in Toronto are spectacular. That overtime goal last night, I loved it for a couple of reasons, but first of all, it was 48 seconds into the game, and 48 seconds in most sports is not very much time, but in the lexicon of hockey, that's an eternity. That's right from the start of overtime. They go into the attacking zone at full speed. Matthews takes a hit. Montreal gets the puck. They speed back down the other end, and Nylander is right on the heels of the Montreal player going to the net. The puck goes to the corner, and instead of changing that most players would do and would be desperate to at that point, they had gas in the tank to go back the other way and create a two-on-one and almost 50 seconds into the overtime score a goal going at full speed back the other way. And they make plays and they're looking for each other all the time. It's pretty spectacular to watch. And Nylander, I don't think, is getting as much credit, but he's not far from the other two guys we're just talking about.
Yeah, I agree. And meanwhile, while we're talking about Crosby and Nylander and Matthews and McDavid, there's a whole lot of people in the nation's capital going, hang on a second. The best player in the National Hockey League is coming back into the Ottawa lineup tonight, and that's Erik Karlsson. Without him, the Senators have been remarkably good. They looked outstanding against Edmonton the other night. And this has given them the luxury of letting Karlsson heal. So it's so difficult to evaluate centers versus defensemen, but... Mm. I mean, is Karlsson, as people in Ottawa would say, is he the best player in the league, or can he be the best player in the league? And if he is, how far can the Senators go?
Well, they went with a team with Karlsson and a team that nobody would have picked to go to the seventh game of the Eastern Conference Final last year. That's where they got.
Yeah.
And I think they're better because of the experience that they got. I think there's a couple of underrated players on that team. So to answer the first part of your question, I think that Erik Karlsson is in every conversation when you're talking about the best defenseman in the league and the best player in the league, just as Drew Doughty is. And I don't think it's disparaging to the other guys to leave them out, but there's a, you know, it's not just a two-person conversation or a three-person conversation. When you start talking about who the best player in the game is, there's a number of guys that you include, and he is certainly one of them. And part of it is that because of the position that he plays so much more. He's indefatigable. And he could play a lot more than they play him now, but they just choose not to. He doesn't look, when he gets to the bench after a shift that's a minute long, like he's even played. You know, he can come right back out. There's nobody in the NHL who can put a 150-foot pass into a teacup the way he can. He can skate his way out of trouble. And what he's done over the last few years is become a lot stronger. Remember the wispy little kid he was when he first came over, and he was good then. His upper body is a lot stronger now. I think his all-round game is a lot better, blocks a lot more shots, plays a bit of a smarter game, doesn't try and win the game by himself as much as he felt he had to do earlier. And that's partly because some of the guys around him are pretty good. And then the other guys that I was going to talk about that I thought that have come a long ways is, like, Kyle Turris is a better player now than he was a few years ago. But the two in particular that stand out for me are Mark Stone, who is Pavel Datsyuk-like in the way he retrieves the puck. He gets it back off other guys so much better than most. Great defensive player with a shot. And Mike Hoffman, who's just a flat-out goal scorer. So they've got a lot of weapons there. That's not a surprise that they started the way they did, except the fact that Karlsson wasn't there.
Very quickly, Damian mentioned earlier, you know, there are teams that are off to a slow start, and it should not be unexpected. Buffalo, Arizona, among them.
Yeah.
Nobody expected.
Rangers.
Well, I want to get to them.
Yeah.
Well, Buffalo and Arizona are two teams that I don't think we expected much from, and we're not getting much from. You would have hoped Buffalo maybe was becoming out of this, but maybe not. Maybe they never will. The Rangers at 1-5 are have to be a bit of a surprise. Is this the beginning of a significant downturn for the Rangers, or are they really a lot better than this?
I'm watching this one with a lot of interest, Bob, because I don't think that they're particularly good, and there's a few reasons for that. I think Henrik Lundqvist is clearly closer to the end of his career than the start. Doesn't mean he's bad, but the last couple of years, the Rangers were bailed out by backup goaltenders, Antti Raanta and Cam Talbot, when the King had some problems, either injury-wise or wasn't playing very well, and I don't think they have that now in Andrei Pavlik. I think that Kevin Shattenkirk was not a mistake, but was very overrated in what he can do for a team. The St. Louis Blues, he played on the third pair with Carl Gunnarsson, and he got his minutes and got his cake by being a power play guy. When he went to the Washington Capitals last year, they played him on a third pair with Brooks Orpik, and he played on the power play. That's where he got his extra ice time. And he got the living bejeepers beat out of him by Matt Martin and the Maple Leafs in the first round, to the point where he was looking over his shoulder all night long. The Rangers' Alain Vigneault found out in a game and one period that he shouldn't be playing with Ryan McDonagh, and now he's on a third pair in New York, and they're not quite sure how to use him at all. Then they traded Derek Brassard and Derek Stepan, their top two very versatile centers, and they're left with a void down the middle, so much so they started with an 18-year-old that shouldn't have been in the lineup playing in the middle. And now they got Mika Zibanejad as a number one center. So if you go straight up the middle with all your strength, Henrik's getting a little older. Ryan McDonagh's still a really good player, and they got nothing in the middle up front.
Well, and you know what, Huey? I think you bring up a great point, and they seem to be one of those teams that is trying to go in two directions at once. They trade Stepan, they get a draft pick, and they get Anthony DeAngelo, and so they're all going, okay, we've got some kids now, because we haven't had a draft pick since 1979. So they're doing that, and then they go out and spend all that money on Kevin Shattenkirk, and so you're going, okay,
which way are they going?
Which way are we going here, guys? Are we going to go for kids? Or, you know, and then I think Jeff Gorton is in the position of Glenn Sather, let's face it. He really mortgaged everything to try to go for cups, and good on him. And they almost pulled one off. Yeah, they almost made it. You know, they gave up so much for Martin St-Louis. They gave up so much for Keith Yandel. And they took a real run at it, which is great. It's sort of like the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah.
But then you got to say, okay, we didn't get
there. At some point, you got to
re-entrench. Now we got to back up. Yeah. So.
Yeah, and they and the kids that they drafted this year sounds to me like, from people who know more about it than I do, are really good players, but they're not ready. As Mike Keenan always used to say, prospects are for the next coach.
let's very quickly, before we go, talk about two of the surprises at the other end of the scale. Detroit Red Wings, I'd have bet against them being 4-1. The Vegas Golden Knights, everybody would have bet against them, including everybody in Vegas, of them being 4-1. And not only is Vegas 4-1, they did it last night with that other Subban between the pipes. They didn't even have Marc-Andre Fleury, who's got a concussion, we think, and who knows how long he might be out.
If they get any more injuries, they may never lose.
They may never lose a game. Which of those two come back to earth the quickest? Vegas?
I'm not sure that. I think they'll come back to earth, because I don't think they're going to win 4 of every 5 games they play.
Of course,
so coming back to earth means mediocrity. Yeah, that's. I think that's going to happen to them, but the fact that they were given a little more by the rest of the league instead of throwing the anchor in the lifeboat and sinking it, the owners gave them a little more, and they've got a National Hockey League defense. They've got a National Hockey League goaltender who's hurt. I'm not sure how good Malcolm Subban is going to be, and good for him for finally getting the win and getting it against the Bruins, who seem to keep burying him. And they got some savvy guys who can play. You know, one of the bane of expansion teams' existence in the past was that they had all these guys who weren't bad players but couldn't score if their life depended on it. And they could never get any goals. This is a team that's got a few guys who can score. And James Neal's had a great start, and that's a really good story. So they're a good, mediocre team. And what they did was compile a whole bunch of draft picks that's going to allow them to get better. And they'll move some of the veteran guys to get young guys in and to get more picks so that a couple of years down the road, they can be more than just an average team. But good on the league for a change, for putting a team in a new rink where they might actually have some guys that, you might want to buy the sweater and have your name on the back, because they might not all be out of there next Thursday. Detroit's a bit of a surprise to me, but it just seems to me like they're getting some goaltending that it hasn't always been there, and they're getting a little scoring. It's been a pretty mixed bag. So I got to see more of them before I decide whether or not that's for real.
Yeah, I suspect it's not, but we never know. Huey, we love you. Thanks very much. We'll talk to you again soon.
We got through this whole conversation without talking about
what?
Mitch Marner on the fourth line with the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, don't worry about it. It's only temporary. Tomorrow, the day after.
Be some other crisis.
Be another crisis.
The sixth defenseman or the backup goalie, something like that.
Thank you, Jimmy.
See you later.